We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
We will restore science to its rightful place and wield technology's wonders.
The gospel is not only the message that the church takes to the world. The gospel is the source of the church's very existence.
People have the attention span of hummingbirds on cocaine. It's got to feel good right now. And to some degree, that's the way we also think about church.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Well, it's certainly not unusual to hear about countries that have made Islam, the religion, the basis for their laws, all the way down to the street level, all the way down to Sharia law, ruling the day, street by street. But to hear of a country that is consciously adopting Islam as the basis for its law and constitution when previously it was not is somewhat unusual. At least it seems to me it is. Somalia has done just that yesterday. Its cabinet voting to make Islam the basis of the country's legal system. What will that mean for Somalia? We'll talk about that for the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc. Dr. Sergey Trifkovic will be our guest from the Rockford Institute Center for International Affairs. He's author of the book Defeating Jihad. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. After a short conversation on Somalia and Islamic law, we'll spend the rest of today's show talking with Gretchen Pasentino about Buddhism and the Dalai Lama. Yesterday was the 50th anniversary of the Dalai Lama's expulsion from Tibet, and along with him, religious freedom in Tibet. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 11th of March. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MY-IE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Sergey Trifkovic is director of the Rockford Institute Center for International Affairs. His book, Defeating Jihad. Sergey, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, good to be with you after all this time.
If a country adopts Islam as the basis of its law, what can the citizens there expect?
Well, there is the visible effect on ordinary citizens, and there is what I regard as perhaps even more important impact on the underlying fundamental laws of that country, its constitutional structure, and accordingly its likely behavior on the international scene. Now, it is not quite correct to say that it is almost unique, if not very rare, for a country to move in that direction. Oddly enough, both Afghanistan and Iraq, following U.S. military interventions in 2001 and 2003, respectively, have moved in that direction, so much so that a couple of years ago, a convert from Islam to Christianity was sentenced to death under the noses of U.S. and other NATO forces in Kabul and had to be airlifted out of there to Italy to save his life. And likewise, the Iraqi lawgivers, who are a fractious lot and often don't agree on much among themselves, depending whether they're Shiites or Sunnis or Kurds, actually agreed on one thing 2 years ago, and it is to make the Quran, make the Islamic teaching the basis of its laws and to make sure that the Iraqi constitution is attuned to it. But Somalia is something of a special case because it is not really a country in the sense of a functioning government with clear reach of the rule of law to its citizenry. It's actually a Hobbesian hell on earth, where you have competing militias, most of them connected to some extent with one or another Islamic faction, fighting it out and turning Mogadishu into probably the most dangerous capital in the world, and the country as a whole certainly is the most dangerous place on earth. You have the northern part, Somaliland, which used to be ruled by Britain and which is now in the state of secession. And further south, you have various factions that have been shooting it out ever since the fall of the military dictator Siad Barre in 1991. And some Somalis see the introduction of Islamic law as the last best hope for modicum of some order. They're actually hoping that, on the one hand, the seriously hardline Islamists, who are allegedly financed by Saudi Arabia, will be appeased, and that, on the other hand, the middle-of-the-road Islamists, and of course these terms are pretty meaningless. The Westerners always like to believe that there are the moderates, the hardliners, and the rest are somewhere in between. But ordinary citizens in Somalia seem to be supporting this because they hope that it may have the same effect as the introduction of Sharia under the Taliban in the post-Soviet Afghanistan. Now, if you remember, following the fall of Najibullah at the end of the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan, there was a period of free-for-all comparable to Somalia, and then the Taliban came, introduced Sharia law, and lo and behold, there was peace and order. And of course, there were decapitations, stonings, chopping off hands, and all the rest of it that is commonly and quite rightly associated with the introduction of Sharia. But for most ordinary people, it brought some degree of relief from the daily ordeal of not knowing whether you will make it alive to the marketplace or whether your daughter will be robbed in the streets or raped. In Somalia, those dangers are still very much part and parcel of the daily life. And so I would say that insofar as Somali legislators have any power at all, insofar as what they legislate counts, they were probably hoping to appease some of the more hardline militias and to induce them to join what remains of the transitional government in trying to impose some kind of law and order in the streets, at least of Mogadishu. And even at the height of Siad Barre's rule, he was jokingly known in the rest of Africa as the mayor of Mogadishu, because even then the writ of central government did not extend much beyond the capital city.
Is it possible to appease the so-called hardline Muslims, or will they be appeased simply because under Sharia they'll be in charge, in effect?
Well, indeed. What people who are legislating this transition probably don't realize is the fundamental assumption of Sharia is that you have not only the legal but also political system, which is based upon the absolute supremacy and sovereignty of Allah. And who is to be the representative of that absolute sovereignty on earth, if not those who regard him as his most faithful servants? Unlike Western systems of criminal justice, Sharia is not merely a legal code. Sharia is, above all, a political concept which embraces the legal aspects, and in Islam, politics and law simply cannot be separated. It presupposes the universal acceptance of the Islamic teaching as the basis for social, political, legal, and every other organization of the society. So you cannot have Sharia in the legal sphere and some kind of quasi-secular or European-style constitution in the political one. It is all or nothing. And what we've seen with previous attempts, and of course in Saudi Arabia we have the ongoing efforts that is 200 years old, is that Sharia is the totality of politico-legal existence of a country. And any attempt to introduce elements of Sharia through the back door, which we are witnessing with the Muslim diaspora in Western Europe, is nothing but the thin wedge of a long-term strategic effort to convert and subvert the host country into a Muslim one.
With only 30 seconds, Sergio, it sounds like from what you've said in our brief conversation, Sharia or Islam in general philosophically simply cannot form the basis for a broad spectrum of human rights. 30 seconds to respond.
Not for any rights, because the concept of human rights is alien to Islam. The rights are not human, they're divine, and they're granted to humans only by virtue of their utter obedience to the will of Allah. Beyond that, any attempt to seek, quote, human rights, unquote, is apostasy punishable by death.
Dr. Sergio Trifkovic is director of the Rockford Institute Center for International Affairs. He is author of the book Defeating Jihad. We will post information on Defeating Jihad at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand section tonight, issuesetc.org. Sergio, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure as always.
When we come back, we're going to spend the remainder of this hour of Issues Etc. with Gretchen Passantino. Yesterday, talk about religious oppression and the wholesale abandonment of religious freedom. China is an example, and the track record that China has vis-a-vis Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism, the Dalai Lama and his followers, is indeed gruesome, and it continues to this very day. The Dalai Lama, leader of so many Buddhists, cannot return to the country of his origin. And we're going to be talking why China continues to crack down on Buddhism, what Buddhism is, and who the Dalai Lama is as well. Gretchen Passantino will be our guest on the other side of this break. We're coming to you Wednesday afternoon, March the 11th. Buddhism and the Dalai Lama with Gretchen after this.
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter, and we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Here are a few of the features of the new Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House. Study notes, application notes, and prayers from a uniquely Lutheran perspective. 120 maps, charts, and diagrams. You'll find law and gospel application notes, center column references, and quotes from the Church Fathers. Check out the Lutheran Study Bible at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or pre-order the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382. And I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feidinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org. And you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.